I'm gonna read by, well, I'm gonna read about three or four verses, but I'm gonna start down in verse 15 in the book of Daniel in chapter 3. Once again, I just want to thank you for your presence. And not only that, the Lord also thanks you for your presence. And I just believe that something is about ready to happen, and I don't know what, but I've been talking to some different people this week, and so just let's hear getting God's word in chapter 3. And it says in verse 15, it says, "Now if it be ready, that at what time ye hear the sound of the cornet, the flute, the harp, the sackbut, the psaltery, and the dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the image which I have made well. But if ye worship not, ye shall be cast in the same hour into the midst of a fiery furnace. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands?" Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, "O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this manner. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning of fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of the hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy God, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up." Our Father, today we just pray, Lord, that you just give us liberty this morning, Father, that we may preach the word of God, and Father, that you laid upon our hearts. And Father, I pray, God, that you'll open the people's heart this morning. Father, even open my own heart. Maybe, Lord, you can, where I can see something here I've never seen before, Father. And we just want to thank you, and we want to love you in this side of Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Here, you know, we can go back over to chapter 1, and it's talking about what kind of purpose Daniel had. And we'll go over in chapter 2, and it's telling, it's giving out where the vision that Nebuchadnezzar has in building the golden calf here. But here in the verses that we just read in chapter 3, and it says in verse 15, "Now if it be ready, that all what time ye hear the sound of the four instruments or five instruments here, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the image which I have made. Well, but if ye worship not, ye shall be cast the same hour into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Who is that God, and that shall deliver you out of my hands?" What he is talking about is talking about Daniel. It's talking about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And Nebuchadnezzar's doing the talking here. This is all about what Nebuchadnezzar was trying to do. Other words, and what the world is trying to do. Now we see the world today, where the world today is attacking all the people in the world. Because, you know, it doesn't make no difference if we're saved or we're lost. We're all God's children. Because God created each and every one of us. But even though we know families, and I've known some families that have
They may have two or three or four or five children, and they may have one or two that will do what the parents say. And then they may have one or two that's disobedient and always going against the parent and everything. And that's a type of the Christian and a type of the world. And here today, I just want to let you know that a whole lot of the people today has been thrown in to the fiery furnace. The devil, I hear today, he's trying his very best to tear up what God has made and what God has created. That is the devil's job, and he will use me and you to do that. And he, you say, well, preacher, no, he ain't going to use no Christian to do it. Oh, yes, he will. Because you want to tell you what? That's the only way that the devil can get to the other people. Because see, if he never attacks us, and if we live the life according to God's word, if we live straight along with that word, and the devil never attacks us, what are we going to do? We ain't going to do nothing for the Lord no more. Why? I've told people this time in past and everything, and I've had some people tell me, says, you shouldn't say that. You should not say it that way. But you know, I've said it times past. I don't know if I've ever said it here. But it thrills my heart. It thrills me in knowing the devil attacks me. Because when the devil attacks me, then I know I'm doing something right for God. If the devil never attacks you, you better look up, because you're not doing anything at all for God. And we must remember what we do. We must do it because we're saved and because of what His Son done at Calvary. His Son went to the cross. His Son laid His life down for my life. His Son laid His life down for your life. And we must realize that He loved us enough to do that. Now, there's people out here that I don't even know. But for me to, for them to get into church and everything, you think I would go out here? And I said, well, Brother Bill, I said, you know, I need some help. We need to put up a cross. Then y'all watch and see what goes on. And here I go, they put me on the cross. You think I'm going to be on that cross and I'm not going to cry out and I'm not going to holler? Hey, why? Because what that represents is me dying after somebody else. But God's word says, Paul does say, that we must die out. And what he's representing there, what Paul is saying there, that we must separate ourselves from the world. We must separate ourselves from sin. But here we see where in verse 17 it says, if it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. It's a God I hear in this world that's just, I hear around the people. But it's the God of the little g. The little g and the little o and the little d. And then it's got an s. The gods. That's Satan. That's Satan and Satan's imps. That's Satan and Satan's followers. They was kicked out of heaven with Satan. But we also today, as many people get that comes to the house of the Lord and get saved, Hey, I love it when somebody just comes up and say, "Preacher, I just know I need to get saved today." Would you? Would you love to get saved today? They say, "Yeah." And you lead them to the Lord. But everyone the Lord saves, the devil takes twice as many more. How does he do that? How does the devil increase his followers within the church? Within the church. Why? Because we have people come to church and they're going to look at me. They're going to look at you. They're going to say, "You know, I preach up well. I just talking to him one-on-one. I like him." But when he gets to preaching, he gets to meddling into my business. He gets to telling me what I can do and what I can't do. No, it's not me. I don't do that. It's God's Word. God's Word tells me that. God's Word tells each one of us what we must do as Christians. And the only way that we can ever do anything for God is we have to do it God's way. We have His instruction book and we have the manual in the life that we need to live. But I'm going to use the men now. I'm not going to use the ladies because, I know the, well, mine house, they just, except one of them, and that's my daughter. She, she's like I am. She'll open a great big old box that she didn't order something from, and she got to put it together and everything. She'll open the box up, and the first thing you know, laying right on top. What is it? It's the instruction. It's the manual. What do? We take it. "No, man, I don't need that. Put it over there." And then we'll spend an hour or two. Well, we could have done it in 30 minutes. We just went by and looked at the book. They said, "Get it all together and everything. That don't look exactly like what's on the front of the box here." No. And then we wonder why we have some nuts and bolts and something else is left over. We have stuff that's left over. And we wonder why. Says, "You know, I mean, they was awful generous to us. You know, they gave us all this extra stuff." I think what it was supposed to go in somebody else's box. That's the way we think. Us men. Now, I don't know about you ladies. I don't know. But I have one at the house. My daughter, she's the same way as I am. She takes the direction, she puts them over there.
She does look at them.
Yeah, she does look. Yeah, well, she looks at it. Is a picture on the front, just like me.
But we don't need to do it that way. We need to read and ask the Lord to give us what we need for that day. What we need on when we get out of the vehicle. Because we don't know. We think we may know where we're going. And majority of the time when I get in my vehicle, I have intentions of going somewhere. And going to seeing somebody. But then I get in my vehicle and I'll go in the opposite direction every time. We're going to be praying for you. And we'll be at 7 o'clock.
7 o'clock.
Right. Oh, yeah. Business meetings.
Okay.
All right.
But no. I mean, that's the way we are. But can you imagine? Just imagine that. How the non-Christian. What they do.
They don't have no instruction book. They don't have the manual in the way that they need to live their life. They don't have the manual. But they can come to church. And I'll give them a manual. I'll give them a manual. All I got to do is just go out there and just pull one out of my shelf at the house. I got, I don't tell how many different Bibles there. I mean, they're all King James. The ones that I got in the other translation is just a paperback. So I didn't spend a whole lot for them. But we need to give them something to where they can get in here. And we need to take. There was an individual here.
I'll say about, it's been a couple of months. It might have been a little longer. But I was talking to him. Danny Lowe's. And he hadn't been about 3 or 4 weeks that got saved. And he was going to a Bible-believing church. They preached a King James Bible and all that. Because I know the pastor. And I asked him, I said, how you doing in the studies and reading the Bible? He said, you know, I've really been thinking about it, and I really want to go and get me one of these other Bibles that's in this same, the plain English. I says, we had the plain English. That's right, that was what we had when it first started. I says, now, what I want you to do, I says, and this helped me. I says, you go and read John chapter 14. And when you get down into verse 16, and you read the rest of the verses, just read that and reread it. And read it again and reread it. And you'll come to find out that the Lord's not telling, just because we're saved does not mean that we have to go in there and when we read a verse of scripture or a chapter in a book or a particular book, does not mean that we have to know everything that is happening within that book. And we don't need to know what everything that's said in that particular book that the Lord would give us that we could hang on to. I said, because if you'll read in the latter part of John chapter 14, it'll tell you. It'll tell you exactly who your professor is. It'll tell you the name of your teacher. Now, wait a minute, I can't go to school. I mean, I'm not going to no Bible college. I said, no, I don't really encourage the Bible college myself. I mean, you know, but, you know, if the Lord leads you that way, you need to go. But you always remember what they're giving you is their opinion. And we as preachers, sometimes we'll get up here and we'll say things and what we're giving out is just our opinion. We need to read God's word and we need to use some portion of that scripture in trying to bring it out. And I says, and allow our comforter. And I asked him, I said, you know who your comforter is? Yeah, man. He said, no. I said, well, you know who the Holy Spirit is? He said, yeah. I said, you read over in John chapter 14 and you'll see there that the Comforter is the Holy Spirit
or the Holy Ghost. Now, God the Father,
and He give us His Son, where He died on the cross for me and you. But He just didn't die on the cross for me and you. And I said, and then He said, well, you know, I went to Him and I asked Him to save my soul. And something happened within me. Something just started filling me up that I just didn't, I couldn't feel that before. And He said, you know, and I do thank God for that. And He said, I want to learn as much as I can about the Bible. No, you don't want to learn everything you can about the Bible. You want to learn everything you can about God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. That's who you want to learn about. And I told him, I said, now, the Holy Spirit is your comforter. The Lord, and it says over in verse 16, I believe it is, or might be 15, talking about where the Lord said, I'm going to leave you. He's talking about individuals. You. Talking about me. Because I'm the one who came to Him and asked Him to save my soul. Where He says, I'm going to leave a comforter to you that will look after you, that will take care of you. And I says, and He will. And I says, keep on reading in chapter 14, and you'll come to find out that He's your teacher. See, God, and I love this. Thank you, Lord. I didn't even think about that.
As much as God loved us, He not only gave His Son for our life, that He could die for me, and He could die for you. They did not take His life. He laid His life down freely. But He rose again on the third day. Now, we have God the Father, and then God the Father gave us the Son. Where the Son hung on the cross, He gave His life for me. He gave His life for you. He gave His life for whosoever will. God didn't stop there. And God did not say that, well, Donnie, you just got to say now, you're on a trial basis now. It's going to take you at least 6 months now. You got to do what the Bible says. And after 6 months, you can receive the Holy Spirit. I see that nowhere in the Bible that you receive it that way. That is talking about in the spiritual things that we can do. The gift of the Spirit. There's so many gifts in the Bible. We have the gift of knowledge. We have the gift of understanding. We have the gift of eyesight. We have the gift of a tongue. We have the gift of our legs. We have the gift to do for the Lord. And anything else. The Lord gives us a gift where we want to be in His house. He gives us that gift. And He gives us all them gifts as we learn in a house. as we learn from God's word. But as for the Spirit, the Comforter. Matter of fact, I got to know the Comforter and I got to know the Holy Spirit before I even got to know Jesus. Don't look at me like, what are you talking about that? I thought it was Jesus.
It's all about Jesus. You right. It's all about Jesus. But who brought me to Jesus?
The conviction of the Holy Spirit. God and His Son uses the Holy Spirit to speak to people's hearts. That's when, and I think that's what they're speaking about in the Bible when it's talking about we must be tuned in or we can hear that small, still voice. That's what he's speaking about. Because the thing about it, if the Holy Spirit was yelling at me and said, well, Donnie, you just need to go on and forget about what you're doing. You just might well going to give up. And you might have going to confess your sin to Jesus and ask Him to save you. No, He don't do it that. He don't do it that way and with that in that tone of voice. Does it in that small, still voice to where we can understand Him. And He says, Donnie, know there's somebody that you don't know anything about that loves you, and He will take care of you. He loves your family. He wants the very best for you. He wants the very best for your family. And then I asked Him, I said, well, who are you talking about? And you think about, yeah, I'm going crazy now. I mean, somebody's speaking to him, and I'm talking back to him, and I don't know who I'm talking to. I mean, I can't see him or nothing like that, so I'm going crazy. No, I said, who are you talking about? He said, the one that laid his life down for you. The one that hung on the cross. His name is Jesus. He was... Back then, He was called the Messiah. He was called the Counselor. He was called this and that. But He was called to die on the cross for you. To where you might be saved. And you cannot get saved without hearing the Word of God. You cannot get saved without a preacher. Now, he didn't say, anything about a pastor, did he? Right? Didn't say anything about a pastor. As says a preacher, you cannot get saved without a preacher. So that right there, all the independent Baptist preachers that we know of that spoke about that ladies cannot be a preacher. I disagree with them. A preacher is one that delivers God's message, the gospel, to a lost and dying world. But a lady cannot be ordained of God to pastor a church. That's the difference. That's the only difference between a preacher and a pastor. You can go ahead and you can preach that word better than I can have a preacher. And you must. And I know maybe some of you have been taught the other way. I don't know. But that's the way I see it. Because Anytime he used the word preacher in the Bible, and if that ain't what God meant by it, and if that wasn't what Paul meant by it in the book of Romans there, then I think that God would have asked Paul and told Paul, when you pen these words down, don't put down that an individual cannot get saved without a preacher. Don't word it that way. You word it that people cannot get saved without a pastor. Right? A preacher is an individual that shares the gospel with somebody else. That just gives out their testimony to someone else and what God has done for them. They are preachers. That's what God's word says. I mean, I can't look at it no other way. That's the only thing that I can get from that. Because it does not say over there in Timothy chapter 3 that you have to be the husband of one preacher. You have to be the husband of what? One bishop, one elder, one pastor. Husband of one is where they are ordained of God. A preacher is not been, a preacher can preach and don't have to be ordained of God. But I believe that when a pastor is called to pastor a church and when the Lord burns them down to that point, I believe that they are just as ordained as they're going to breathe the next breath. And I know that we have a tradition and everything that we come before the church. And if we've been called of God to pastor a church, then what we'll do when we go to that particular, we'll go to a particular church for the first time that we want to go there, and we'll say, well, you know, we need to talk to you. I'll tell you. Now, when the church ordained, I mean, the only thing they done was ordain me, was come up and just lay hands on me. But I was ordained from God. Just like I believe I was saved as soon as the Holy Spirit convicted my heart. I do. I mean, that's the only way I can see it. But I won't have no heartache about anybody else wants to believe the other way. Because I don't know. This is what I have got. See, there's a whole lot of things that we say down here we understand. And we know that that's the gospel. Because it's in the book. But we have to realize that what we have learned through the books, we do not have the mind to be able to take what we read in the book and understand it the way God wants us to understand it. We're not going to do that because we're going to get to heaven and it's going to be a whole lot of things. I mean, I've heard people, and I used to at one time too. I plead the fifth. I mean, I pleaded under the blood. I believed it one time too. To when I went to heaven. And when I got in. And after I saw Jesus and everything and thanked him for what he'd done for me. Praised him for a little while. Then the next one I wanted to go see Paul. I believe that. Then I wanted to go see Abraham. Why did you just pick Paul and Abraham? Why not Peter or some of the others? Or why not your family? Well, the reason I picked Paul was, it's because when Paul was saved on the road to Damascus, right after that, they come up and said that his eyes had gotten dim. And some people and some preachers, some people even say today that they believe that that's where what Paul meant was when he had the thorn in the side of his flesh. That he had the thorn there that was burdening him down to the point that he couldn't understand nothing. Well, I'm going to ask you something. When I get to heaven, or when you get to heaven, are you going to have the glorified body? Are we? We're going to have a glorified body. That's what the book says. We're going to have a glorified body likened unto the Son of God. He didn't say we will have the body as Jesus. He says we will. We will. We'll have the body. We'll have the glorified body likened unto the Son of God. You know what that means, the liking part? It means that we don't have the marks in our hands. We don't have the mark in our feet. We don't have the mark in the side of our flesh. We don't have the mark on the top of our heads. That's what that means. Because if that didn't, and if we was just as Jesus is, then we'd say, well, now, if that's the case, then how am I going to recognize Jesus when I get there? You ever thought about that? How are we going to recognize Jesus when we get there? You know how? And you know the reason I'm going to bow? You know the reason that every individual saved by the grace of God, the reason they're going to bow at his feet? They're going to bow at his feet with the tears of seeing his scars on his body. Because we know that we are the ones that put this part. We had a part in that, in putting the scars upon his body. But see, today, people in the outside, is on the outside. You know the reason they won't come to church? Now, I think that this may be part of it, because I've heard it from some of them. They said, well, if we come down there and says, are you going to preach anything about that bloody religion? I said, no, I ain't going to preach to you about no bloody religion, because religion's going to send you to hell. I said, but I am going to let you know and what the Lord Jesus went through for you that we could not go through. Just like them three Hebrew boys right there in the book of Daniel. They could not have went through the fiery furnace by themselves, even though they have told God. So God says, I'm not going to go. I'm not going to go and partake of his food. I'm not going to go and bow down and worship no golden image. I'm not going to do anything that he wants me to do, because I serve you. You're the one that I serve. And what did Nebuchadnezzar do? He said, I'm going to throw you three in a fiery furnace. Now, I know it does say something, and I didn't read it today, but it's in that too, that where the soldiers and everything, the one that threw them into the fire furnace, they went and they just looked inside, checked them out and see, you know, if they was really burning and everything, if they was had them burnt and they was dead. But they went back and they reported back to the king. Says, we went and we looked through the portholes, through the glass. And we seen the three Hebrews that we threw in there. But then something else had caught our eye. There was somebody else in there. And he looked like God. Now, how do you know what God looks like if you've never met him? As far as me, the only vision and the only vision that I have of God is through his word. I mean, I tell everybody when I go and I'll go out there and some of my friends and everything I used to go to school with, and I'll see them out and everything, and they'll come up to me and they'll say, "Why, how are you doing?" I said, "I'm doing all right." I said, "Man, you looking good." He looked at me. He'd be all rugged and everything. Long hair, stuff like that. I said, "You sure look good." He said, "I think you need to rephrase that, don't you?" I says, "No." I says, "I've never seen God in flesh, but I've seen him through the eyes of his word." And I said, "You know something? I don't think that we serve, and I know that we don't serve an ugly God. Somebody that I can despise. I don't serve that kind of God. I serve a beautiful God. I really do. I serve a tremendous God that knows all about me. And doesn't complain to me one bit about the life that I'm living. He loves me that much. He loves me enough that he allowed his son to go to Calvary and to die there for the sins of my life. And the only thing I had to do, I just had to confess one sin. S-I-N. Unto him that day. And the sin that I had to confess was the sin of not calling on him earlier. The sin of not believing the Comforter. But since I've been saved now, when I go back to him now and I asked him to forgive me of my sin, I said, I don't go to him and ask him to forgive me of my sin, S-I-N. I go to him and I ask him, I says, "Forgive me of my sins, S-I-N-S, because I sin every day." And some days that I don't go to, some days that I don't even think about going to him and forgive. Because I don't, to me, I didn't see nothing wrong with it. But to him, it was something wrong with him. But I need to ask him for forgiveness each and every morning, each and every noon, each and every day that we have. Because over in the last part of the book of Daniel, and speaking about Daniel, in his service of Daniel,
And it's speaking about Daniel, how Daniel, in his life. And it was speaking about Daniel and how Daniel prayed. Daniel prayed 3 times a day. Just think about it. He prayed 3 times a day. We'll say, well, we pray 3 times a day. I pray 3 times a day. But in them 3 times that I prayed today or yesterday, how much time did I really spend in prayer talking to God? Was it 10 minutes? Was it 15? Or was it 5 or something like that? I believe Daniel, when Daniel went over there and when he went to the side right there in the upper room there, and he opened the window toward heaven, toward the eastern sky. He went to God the Father 3 times a day. And I believe when Daniel went to God, started praying, and what Daniel had been through and what the king had done to him and done to the three Hebrew boys, and wanting them to worship something that was made out of gold or made something that was there, that the king made, and God had nothing to do with it. Daniel started thanking God. He started thanking God for everything. He prayed 3 times a day. I believe when he prayed, and he started praying early in the morning, I believe on the job that he had, I don't believe he had to go to work for probably before 9, 10 o'clock. Like they say, he had banking hours. Well, it doesn't say exactly what time he did. But he said he went morning, noon, and night. 3 times a day. I believe when he got in touch with God, he stayed right there until God gave him a name. And that's what our problem is today. That's what my problem is. I believe that's what all the people's problem is today that's in church. They claim to be a Christian. They'll come forth. And they'll come to the altar or front pew like we do. And they'll pray. And they'll pray to God. And ask God to help them with some purpose in their life. And ask God to help them with the decisions that they've got to make the next week. But then we'll come up and we may pray 20 minutes. Some may pray 30. But even though after that, we'll say amen at the end, right? Then what do? We get up. And we go back to our seat. Or we get up and go around and start shaking people's hands because this service has been dismissed. Or in the book of Corinthians, I think it's 1 Corinthians chapter 9, it tells us in verse 13, what it's speaking about there is going to the altar. Speaking about going to the altar, speaking about praying to God. But it also speaking about when we come to the altar and when we lift our burdens and our cares unto the Lord. It doesn't say anything about getting up.
Doesn't say anything about when we get through, we say amen. You know what the word amen means, don't you? I agree. I agree with what you said. I will agree in what you're going to do. But it says that we must wait. We must wait at the altar. It says, come to the altar and pray. Come to the altar and ask for forgiveness of our sin. But don't say anything about it when we get through praying and when we get through asking God and we say amen. No, it says wait. Wait that altar. What it's waiting for? What does that mean? That we must wait until God gives us an answer. And He will give us an answer. He will give us an answer that where we can understand it. Yeah, it may be. Well, Donna, you know, I'm going to have to give you a little more time on this. And Donna, I'm going to have to go and speak to your brother. Donna, I'm going to have to do this before I can answer it. He said, but it will be answered. It may not be answered the way that I see that I want it answered. 9 times out of 10, because what I answer for is out of jealousy or whatever. I mean, not out of jealousy. What is it? The word I'm looking for now. Out of concern for somebody that I think that just because I went to him and just because I asked him that I think that he has to answer that prayer just like I went to him and just like in what I asked him for. He says, I will either answer it with a yes or a no. Or he may say, not right now. Not right now. You've got to go through some trial. You've got to go through some things in your life before I answer that prayer. Because if not, when the prayer is answered, you're not going to really understand where it come from. You ain't going to understand anything about it. But he says, but now you go in life. And that's what the Word of God says in chapter 14, in the latter part of 26, where He will bring remembrance back to us. Back to the individual that is praying. He will bring the Word back to us, to where we can speak the right kind of words to someone else. Our Father, we want to thank You, Lord Jesus, for this day. Now, Lord God, we just ask, Father, that You will just take what was said this morning. And Father, I thank You for speaking to my heart about some things. And Lord, I pray, Father, for each and every one that is here this morning. And Lord Jesus, we just ask God for each one of them. I know, Father, that each one of them, they're carrying a burden. Some is carrying a heavier burden than someone else is. But Father, we know that where Your Word says it, that we need to cast our every care upon Thee. And Father, to me, and that's
what it means is that if we cast our cares upon you, we are trusting you to take care of that care and that burden that we are having. And Father, that we need not to re-examine that burden or that care that we have brought to you. Only thing we need to do, we just need to pray harder that, Lord, that you would lead us to someone else. Because I do believe this, Father, that anywhere that we go to invite people to church or give them the Word of God, Father, we know, Lord Jesus, that you are the one who's opened the heart's door. And Father, my prayers this week, Lord Jesus, is somebody, that we could hear somebody getting saved. And Father, yes, Lord Jesus, we would love to see some movement here within the church to where some people will come out. And Lord, and I pray, Father, for the individual that I spoke to this week about playing the piano, Father. And Father, I waited until you told me to go and exactly what I needed to say. And Father, I know that music is important in the church house. I believe it soothes the heart. It mellows that heart. It softens that heart to where the Word of God can go and penetrate that heart. And Father, we ask, Lord, now that you go with us to our respective homes this morning, Father, this afternoon. And Lord, that you'll bring us back tonight, Father. And Lord, I pray, God, Father, for all the churches today, Lord Jesus. And Father, I know there's people out here trying to harm individuals' lives. And now they're trying to harm the churches. Lord, the devil is on the rampage. And Father, as the devil is on the rampage, we're asking for thy power from on high. That Father, that you may touch each one of us, that we will not get to the point in our life that we're going to be afraid to come to church. Because Father, I still believe that in church, where you're at, with the help of all the people, is the safest place that we can be. Because, Father, I believe that you've got us under your wing. And you're going to take care of us. Be with all the police officers. Be with each and every one who's involved in keeping the people, the citizens of the United States safe from harm. Be with our president, Father, that you'll continue to speak to his heart. And Lord, that he may continue doing what he's been doing. And Father, that no one can be able to discourage him to the point that he will give up. I believe some of them have in the past as they say, well, I'm going to just give up. I don't need to hassle. So they didn't quit doing anything. They just wanted to go and stay there till the time was ended. But Father, we want to stay in your house. We want to stay about your business, Father, until you call us home. Father, because I'm not here just for 4 years. And I'm not here just for 8 years. Lord Jesus, I'm here until you call me home. And Father, I thank you for each one of these individuals. Sister Nancy that left for work, I thank you, Lord, for her. I thank you for Sister Huff. I thank you for Donna Huff. I thank you for Betty Combs. Father, I thank you for Irma Taylor, Lord. I thank you for Brother Bill. I thank you even for my wife today. I thank you for each and every one of them. And Lord, if I love them, I want the very best that you have for them. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior, we pray. Amen and amen.